a sex appeal up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy.
I love this song so much. This is my favorite. This is like my favorite wrestling song. Sorry, Hulkster.
It is a little known fact they wrote this about me.
Yeah, I bet they did. I bet they did. Sorry, Stone Cold. This is my favorite. Even when the glass breaks, all bets are off.
Yes.
I still love, I'm a sexy boy, Shawn Michaels. All right, Pro Football Focus is, it went through their best rookies after week 7 of the National Football League. Now, the sample size is getting a little bit bigger, but they just went through and they said, these are our highest graded players through the first 7 weeks of the NFL season. And a spoiler alert in this, a couple of the guys that a lot of people thought would be up there as rookie of the year aren't even on the list.
Mm.
Caleb Williams, not on the list.
Nah, that first game was so bad. His general score is going to be pretty damn low.
Rome Odunze, not on the list. Hasn't been a huge factor.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of names that people were considering as some of the tops, like Jaden Daniels of the Commanders. Malik Nabers in New York is on that list and is fairly high up there. Marvin Harrison Jr. is even on the list. But when you look at the top 15, I don't think that it is any coincidence. Most of these guys are defenders, right?
It's easier to catch on.
It is. You're playing the reactionary side of the ball. Defense always comes before offense. It is a little bit easier to come out and shine on the defensive side of the football. And when you look at it, 7 of the 15 are defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
2 of them are offensive linemen that are in there as well. Actually, 3 of them are offensive linemen. Zach Frazier, center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, is on there. Joe Alt, the tackle, and by the way, Frazier comes in at 5th.
I say Frazier's got a crazy grade.
Yep, he comes in at 5th. Joe Alt of the Chargers, left tackle, right tackle. He is at 10th on the list. And then Dominic Pooney, guard for the San Francisco 49ers, comes in at 9th. So 3 of them are offensive linemen in there. Wide receivers, you look at Marvin Harrison Jr. He comes in at 12th on here. And remember how bad his first game was when mm-hmm. everybody was like, what is going on with, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr.? And you watch the film and you watch the cut-ups of him. It really wasn't him. And
There was something going on between him and Kyler.
They made a massive point of this on Monday Night Football, in kind of the breakdowns of Monday Night Football. But when you watched the game, people were begging for, like, Petzig, the offensive coordinator for the Cardinals, and Kyler Murray, get the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. was open, and he wasn't throwing him the football. Like, they ran a lot of sit routes, a lot of spot routes, a lot of curls with Marvin Harrison Jr., and he was open. Kyler Murray just never gets there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the damnedest thing.
Yeah, there's something between those two, which, I mean, when you're talking about personalities, is that really a surprise?
Yeah, no, not all that much. And they got a win out of it, but yeah. Marvin Harrison Jr. comes in at 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Thomas Jr., the LSU receiver, he comes in at 8th for mm-hmm. For the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he has been playing well, but their team just isn't. Malik Nabers, the New York Giants, is mm-hmm. 6th on the list. And he was out with a concussion, but when he is on the field, he's been really productive.
Yeah, among PFF grades, Nabers is 11th for wide receivers. Thomas is 15th. Not just for rookies, it's overall for wide receivers.
Overall. Mm-hmm. The top 5, Zach Frazier, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Phillips, a corner for the New York Giants, which, I mean, you get a third-round pick and you have him as the 4th graded out corner in the NFL. Not too shabby.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels is number 2. Commanders, or 3, sorry. Commanders,
which he's doing stuff that not even rookie, but a quarterback in the NFL hasn't done with his completion rate and yards downfield. McAfee had J.J. Watt on this morning, and they were diving into some of the the stats behind his rookie season so far, and what he has done so far is absolutely bonkers. So that this class is rounding out to be in the shape where he's not even the best graded rookie is pretty impressive.
So they have their adjusted completion percentage, which takes, you know, drops out of it, mm-hmm. takes like misfires from your receiver as much as they can tell out of it. His adjusted completion percentage is 80.7. Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, that's
7 weeks.
That's insane.
He has been playing out of this world. The marriage between Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels is working. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury, I've long said this, elite play caller, not a great head coach. Mm-hmm. As the offense coordinator for the Commanders, he is clicking on, firing on all cylinders. Number two, and I think that the top two, with how good Jaden Daniels has played, I think it says mm-hmm. everything you need to know about how well these two are playing. Number two,
could there
is
be a quack, quack,
Raider...
Quack?
Raiders tight end Brock Bowers yeah. is number two.
He's been an absolute monster. He's been the only redemptive thing about the Raiders this year. And not even just good. He's putting up like big dog numbers in an offense that is absolute garbage.
Yeah. And they know at this point, without Devonta Adams, without Jakobi Meyers, who was just cleared for a return mm-hmm. for the Raiders this week, there's one option.
And he's still getting open.
And he has been playing absolutely phenomenal. He's everything that everybody could have hoped he would be coming out of Georgia. He is number two with a great PFF grade of 88.3. And the number one, and I think this is a surprise. It was a surprise to me when I read it. But if you're a Packers fan, it should not be.
Quack, quack, quack.
It is safety Evan Williams. Yeah, the former Oregon Duck, 89.4.
He's the fifth rated safety in the NFL this year.
That is a bonkers. And I mean, he was a Fresno State transfer. His brother Bennett Williams, who also played at the University of Oregon. Evan Williams was lights out for the Ducks last year. And that transferring over to the National Football League through the first 7 weeks, Evan Williams is grading out as the best rookie in the NFL.
Real quick on the
it's not the best bourbon either.
Mm.
But he's the best. He's the best safety.
Tell me if you notice anything about this group of safeties. This is the top six safeties in the NFL according to PFF.
Huh?
Brian Branch, Xavier okay. McKinney, Kevin Byard, Brandon Jones, Evan Williams, Kirby Joseph.
That's, on the surface, I don't see anything okay.
That's
links
two
them
Lions,
together.
Two Packers, and a Bear.
Oh, yeah. Well, good secondaries, huh?
Pretty damn good.
Some pretty good secondaries in the NFC North.
Uh-huh. Josh Metellus is number 11. So, and he obviously with the Vikings. So, you
wow.
in the top 11, seven of the best safeties. That's, you know, strong and free. Seven of the best overall safeties in the NFL are on four teams.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. And Evan Williams. And this is like what the Packers do, though, right? He was the fourth-round pick, 111th overall off the board. Their plug-and-play development and scheme fit, I don't know what their secret sauce is. The Green Bay Packers do it better than anybody else. Period. Like anybody else.
This is why they are what they are. It is a machine.
It is. Need to be studied by science, you know.
I
don't know if it's computers like or what it is.
There's
but
a blood cult that's, you know, when you become a front office member in your like late 20s, when you go from like being some sort of GA at some school and you work your way up with the Packers for 30 yep. years, and they bring you in, and then it's like, you know, they develop you in a way from the top down because they don't ever bring anybody in from the outside. It's always development. To be fair, this is also the Ravens.
Yeah.
The Ravens don't bring anybody in from the outside.
Yeah.
It is mildly cult-like, and he's like, well, you know, it's like, it's worked. And it's worked through multiple GMs. It's worked through multiple, you know, I mean, with the Packers, ownership is different, but it's just consistent no matter what, and it's like, they just keep finding dudes everywhere, every single year.
It's multiple coaching staffs. It is multiple regimes, but I think that what you said, it is exactly why they are so successful, in that their front office is homegrown and they stick to the same recipe of development. They stick to the same recipe of what we look for, are the identifiers in whether it's culture fit or stylistic play fit, they marry those together so well, and that comes from continuity in your front office. I mean, there's no mistake there that the most successful franchises in the NFL aren't the ones that have one GM or one owner all the way through and just, you know, it's they knock in one head coach and knock it out of the park. It is when you establish the culture, develop, grow younger people underneath, and there's that, it's the trust tree organizationally. Because I think what Green Bay is showing is that you don't have to have the same coach. Hell, you don't have to have an owner, right? You can go through different iterations of you, how your front office looks, but your core, it remains the same, and success breeds success. And they've got that secret sauce. But Evan Williams, former Duck, being the number one overall graded out rookie in the NFL by Pro Football Focus, the former Duck, a fourth round pick, and playing really well for the Green Bay Packers in the back end of their defense. So good on him. And I was looking at this. This rookie class is really good. I mean,
we knew it was in the quarterbacks, but like beyond that, it's really good.
Caleb Williams isn't even in the top 15, and that week one, yeah, he did have a clunker. He had a couple clunkers out of the gate, but he's been playing more and more consistent football. Man, this rookie class is shaping up to be really good, top to bottom, and I think a lot of it has to do as well with the guys who took the COVID year and came back and were fifth year and sixth year guys. It was another year for development. And there's going to be one more of them too, that I think coming down the pipeline, these guys that had the awareness, and with NIL being a factor in that, I don't have to jump to the NFL too early. I can stick around for another year. The biggest fan of NIL is the NFL, because it allows guys to grow a little bit more. It allows front offices and franchises to look at how does a guy react when he gets a couple $100,000, gets $1 million in his pocket. What does he turn into then? Because that was always the wild card, right? You get a teenager, you throw a couple million in his pocket. How does he react? Mm-hmm. Now you're finding that out. And I think the NBA and the NFL are going to be the two entities that benefit the most from the NIL.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting just to see what that impact ends up being down the road.
Yep.
So,
yep.
It's better than having some of those post-COVID draft classes, that's for sure.
Ooh, Nelly.
Sure, we're going to go with that. Hope it works.
Well, I mean, you've seen it in recruiting classes too with college football.
Guys coming back.
Yep.
It helps guys, everybody.
Those COVID guys that were five-star guys, but
maybe not.
Didn't pan out because the COVID year, we didn't get a true evaluation.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're seeing it in basketball as well, too. Guys are the Dalton Connects of the world who go from Northern Colorado to Tennessee and stay in college and end up getting drafted in a spot that they absolutely would not have had they not had the opportunity to go get that money instead of trying to chase it overseas or on a two-way contract. So,
yep.